I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals. Today, with just Caroline. If you are new to the show, this show is usually hosted together by me, Caroline, and my twin sister and Catherine. For the first time in probably our whole lives, we are apart for 2 months, at least 1 month, almost maybe two, almost. And we decided that because we've been hosting Girls with Goals together for 2.5 years now, what a crazy thing to say, we're coming up on 3 years, that instead of trying to force episodes together by either recording them way beforehand or Zoom calling each other and then giving you some sloppy Zoom audio, for the first time, we're going to take the next month or so and we're going to alternate weeks of recording solo episodes. This is kind of a fun personal challenge for us because we have never really recorded podcast episodes without each other. When we interview other people, we always do it together. When we get interviewed, we've always done it together. When we record our weekly episodes, any bonus episodes we've done, it's always been together. And I think we have such a cool dynamic doing that because we, you know, as twin sisters, I think we're as close as anybody can be, which one means that we always understand what the other person is thinking and where they're going at, but it also means that we have no problem calling the other person out or disagreeing or thinking something differently and completely voicing that. And so I think we have a really cool dynamic on our normal episodes that I hope all of you regular listeners also think, and anybody who's new here will discover from going and listening to our other episodes. But I also think that it'll be cool for you guys to get to know us a little bit separately and hear our voices separately for the first time ever, unless you follow us on social media. If you're not following us on social media, my personal accounts are at Caroline Kaneen on Instagram and TikTok, and Catherine's are at and Catherine Kaneen on Instagram and TikTok, and then you can keep up with all things podcast, all things us together at Girls with Goals Pod on Instagram and TikTok. So as a bit of a life update for you guys, the reason that we are apart for so long is because I'm doing a summer semester abroad in Greece. This is the first time I've been in Europe for such a long time, and it's very exciting. I actually just hit my first month away from home, though, and I'm feeling a little bit homesick. For the most part, I've been pretty excited. But and Catherine and I started the trip by traveling together, and we had so much fun. We went to Spain together. We had both never been to Spain before. We had also never been to Greece before either. Europe is somewhat newer to us in the past couple years. We've been uncovering it for ourselves a little bit. But we did Spain first. We saw Barcelona, Madrid, and Mallorca, which was absolutely incredible. I think we both loved Spain, and I loved all parts of Spain as a city. Really clicked with Madrid. I thought Barcelona was very, very cool too, but for some reason I just really clicked with Madrid. And Mallorca was so beautiful that that is somewhere that I think you would have to go back for at least a week. It is such a big island. It was not possible. And we did a ton. And Catherine rented a little Mini Cooper. And so she was driving us around the island, which was so helpful because it's such a big island. And it was a convertible. So we got to take the roof down and have these like beautiful, fun, scenic drives to music. But even having that, you know, it felt like we were just going from one spot to the other, and we saw so much. But it's definitely a place that I think would be better suited for you to take a week or so, slow down, and just really enjoy yourself there. But I completely recommend Mallorca as a vacation destination. Quite expensive though, because it is like a popular vacation destination for Europeans, not necessarily just an outside tourist destination, and for Spaniards themselves. But incredibly beautiful, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. Then my parents met up with us and we started checking out Greece. We went to Santorini as a family, we went to Paros as a family, which is a bit smaller of an island, and then they brought me and they dropped me off in Thessaloniki, which is a city here, which I'm very, very shocked that I had not heard much about before, because I think it's a perfect city. I'm so impressed with Thessaloniki. I think obviously because of the history of it, everyone knows Athens, everyone's heard of Athens. Thessaloniki is right next door. It's less than an hour flight and it's a coastal city. I have an Airbnb right in the center of the city, which feels so perfect. You know, I feel very independent. I have a cutie little balcony that I've been reading and eating and working and doing everything on my balcony. And I've been going to school 4 days a week. It's like a little bit over a month of school for me to get a couple credits. And I just thought, because I didn't do any full semester abroad while I've been at school and I had a couple summer classes to knock off, why not, you know, make it a fun travel experience at the same time as getting some classes. And so this is where I am for the next month and why Catherine and I are separated. And it's been really fun. Like I said, you know, I've had a couple little moments of homesickness, especially recently, because I have been away for a month. But for the most part, I'm pretty happy with the way that I've been living here. It's a very energetic, like buzzing city. Food is absolutely incredible. It's interesting. I thought that after weeks of traveling with other people and only eating at restaurants and only eating out, I was really craving like, oh, I'm gonna have my own apartment, I'm gonna be able to cook. I've cooked like two or three times and I'm making my own breakfasts, but food is so good here and for the most part so inexpensive and affordable that I have literally just been getting Greek takeout for dinner, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy I'm finding some like pretty fresh good options that still feel healthy and taste better than anything that I would have home cooked by myself, so I'm pretty happy with it. Also, I can get a fresh pressed juice here for $5, and in the US, you know, I worked at a smoothie shop as a kid. That was my first job. We would sell those fresh pressed juices for up to $15 easy. So I am trying to take advantage of everything that I can here that feels, you know, less expensive and a little bit like a luxury than it would at home. For today's episode, I want to talk about why female friendships are so hard. This is an episode that I have had in my mind on deck for a very long time. Probably almost years I've had this in Catherine and I's list of episode ideas. And for all different reasons, it's never felt like the time to do it. It's never felt maybe like the most prominent thing on our mind, or maybe there has been some sort of, you know, tiff in a female friendship or a friendship breakup that we felt like, oh, this person's gonna think it's about them, or it's gonna feel way too relevant, it's about them. And so now feels like the perfect time because I'm very far away from home. No one is gonna be able to take this episode personally. And also being very like independent and by myself out here, I've kind of been reflecting on my independence versus maybe is some of it kind of like a fear of codependence a little bit too. So my boyfriend, which is not something that I've said on the podcast either, and I'm not sure when or if I'm gonna like make a big deal out of that on Instagram, but I am in a relationship right now. I'm just not sure how public I want to make it, but for the relevance of this episode and what we're talking about, because I know all of our podcast listeners are like core besties and good friends, you guys are going to get the inside scoop. But my boyfriend is spending most of his summer in Rome, and he came after, and he actually flew through Thessaloniki and came and spent a few days with me before he went on to Rome. And so we just had such a fun few days in Thessaloniki. It was really, really fun for me to, after this time that I've spent basically like alone exploring and just going to school with other people and meeting some students, to have someone to go adventure with, to go sit down at restaurants, to go get a drink, to go to cafes and actually talk to another person. And we also checked out the beach here, which is like an hour drive away and not something that I was or had yet ventured out to do on my own. So that was really, really fun. It was such a good time for me. Oh my God, so much good food. You can walk around here late at night. It's so buzzing still. But anyways, my point in telling you that was we were sat down for dinner one of the nights, and we were having a conversation about like what we think our similarities and our differences are. And we agreed that we're both pretty independent people, but it can kind of manifest in different ways. Like, something that I really admire about him is that while I think he very much like functions on his own and is independent in nature, is that he is much better, in my perspective, at community and kind of being a part of a community. He has always been on like team sports, he's in a frat, he just feels kind of more affiliated with the school that we go to than I do. Like, I just feel like he's better at affiliating himself with things. And thinking about that made me kind of think about how I honestly think that I have a fear of affiliating myself with things. I have not done team sports in years and years and years. I did team sports up until high school. So I started my life in New Hampshire, and then from when I was 9 to 14, my family lived in Hong Kong, and I went to an international school there, and I played every sport under the sun growing up. I was in all the kid sports teams, and then when I was in middle school in Hong Kong, it was soccer, it was dance, it was swimming, it was track, it was even basketball just for kicks, even though I'm really bad at basketball. It was a little bit of tennis, like everything. When I moved back to New Hampshire for high school, I think that's when a lot of things changed for me. I didn't really want to be moving back. Like, it wasn't my choice, and I was pretty resistant to it. And I also just felt like I was such an outsider, and I think it was partially a self-fulfilling prophecy, but also, you know, very much not at the same time. I candidly, even now reflecting back on it, don't think that many people were very kind. Some were, so I can't like put a blanket statement on that. There's a handful of people who I am so grateful for and really think about, but for the most part, I did not feel comfortable like affiliating myself with that community. I didn't do any team sports. I did, you know, cross country, swimming, tennis, where like you're on a team, but you're also, you know, you're not necessarily all working together all the time. And I think that was probably a big change for me, because I had always been on group sports teams. It was also like a little bit later in high school that my junior year, I started with independent fitness, working out by myself. And, you know, that has obviously like taken me into years ahead now of that being one of the core parts of my life. And it's a very, very independent thing. You know, at first I was gonna talk on this episode about this idea of like, can you be too independent? Can hyper independence be from like a fear of something? But at the same time, then, you know, I was saying this and my boyfriend said back, but like, you're so good at talking to people. Like, you're so friendly. You're not like afraid of people. It might just be that kind of group aspect, or that like, you know, maybe not letting too many people get like too close with you or get affiliated with you for some reason, because you're really good at talking to people. And, you know, that kind of made me think about what has triggered all of this. And quite honestly, Mean Girls. Like, I can't put everything on that, but I think that, unfortunately, so many of us grow up and face mean girls in our lives. And who's to say that I haven't also been a mean girl before? Because in middle school, in high school, like, we don't have any of these thoughts of, like, female empowerment, we should be lifting each other up. I think we haven't learned yet what it means to be a woman and what it means to support other women and why that's so important. And I think at those ages, we fall into the trap of having to compete with each other and having to be the number one and having to, you know, exclude other girls and put other girls down so that you seem cooler and you seem like the one. Whereas we can't say that there's no bullying with boys. There absolutely is. But I think you see so often, like, groups of boys that are friends since childhood, that are friends since middle school, that are always together, and it's always been that way. There's not this, like, cattiness within it. They're not kicking each other out. They're not competing with each other, maybe to the extent that girls are. And so, you know, part of me wants to say that it's not even, like, the character of girls. I think a lot of people can grow out of it, but they don't grow out of it before other people experience it and are affected by it. And I think high school for me, I had some really great friends, but it felt like my friend group was always changing. Like, I felt very disposable. It felt like the second that somebody came around that was, like, more popular, shinier, cooler, you know, dating a cooler boy, something like that, like, I just felt people left me in a millisecond. Like, I felt very disposable, like my group was always shifting. Like, at a lot of points, I had good friends, but it was always fleeting. It never lasted. I do not have a lasting friend group from high school. A lot of the times in high school, I was, like, so on my own and had to really, like, kick that independence into high gear. But for the most part, like, you don't want to be alone in high school. So I was always finding groups and reconnecting with people. But I kind of felt like I was in this cycle of, you know, say there were 20 girls, I would be accepted by some at one point and then kind of thrown out for something cooler. And then I would have to go and, you know, kind of fight to be friends with another. I'm sure a lot of people feel like they have this similar experience. But unfortunately, I don't think that there is much of a feeling of loyalty for girls when they're young. And I think that we just learn at a very young age to compete with each other, or that there is scarcity of what is available to us as women. And that, like, you know, like, we have to grab it so that nobody else can. We're not really taught that there is an abundance of opportunity, places for women. And that, you know, in a lot of cases, that is true. But I think learning that at a young age and thinking about that, but then not yet having matured enough to realize that, you know, I'm a woman, you're a woman, we are having the same experience, why would you put another person down? I don't think that's something we've learned at a young age yet. So I think a lot of people go through that. I think every single person has had an experience with either one mean girl or multiple, and kind of feeling those feelings. I have a couple of good friends from high school, like, singularly. I do not have a girl group at all. I think that is, like, a huge reason that I don't like to go affiliate myself with other groups, because anytime I had done it in the past, I was thrown out or something changed or someone better came along or whatever. And so it just, like, doesn't feel very comfortable for me to go join a sorority, to go join a sports team full of girls and affiliate myself with that. Like, I think that I subconsciously have this fear, or just have this experience in the back of my mind that has made it so that, like, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to do that again. And even in college, I think a lot of people are way more mature. And the thing about college is that you have so many options. There are so many people. You don't have to settle for a group that doesn't, you know, totally accept you and doesn't feel like your sort of people. It's not like a small bubble of school. It can be. Some schools are very small, but for the most part, I think you have much more options. And I think a lot of people at this point have matured. A lot of girls have matured, I think a lot of people have experienced whatever they have experienced on their own in middle school, high school, etc., and probably decided that they want to move on from that and they don't want to experience that again. And so I think that, you know, you have much better odds and it's a much more comfortable situation. Even at that, it's taken me until my fourth year of college to have a really solid group of girls that I'm very.
Starting to learn Mandarin on Rosetta Stone is such a core memory for Caroline and I. I remember when our dad first started traveling for work and was using Rosetta Stone himself, we'd hop on the computer after him and do the lessons too. Fast forward, we ended up moving to Hong Kong and learning Mandarin, and it actually became such a core part of who we are. Languages connect you to people, maybe your family or new friends, and to cultures so strongly. I think language learning is such a lifelong hobby, which is why Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership is so amazing. I'm using Rosetta Stone all over again now to brush up on my Mandarin and get my skills back to fluent. Rosetta Stone has 25 languages you can learn through their intuitive and immersive approach to help you language learn effectively. So don't put off learning that new language. There is no better time than right now to get started. And Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today and get 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period where you just want to crawl out of your skin, not able to keep up a routine or maintain healthy habits. Because personally, I just lose all steam. I feel down or just super off, and that's why Happy Mammoth has been so helpful these past few months. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it truly shows. Happy Mammoth has what you need for gut health, hormone balancing, detoxification, anti-aging, beauty, mood, clarity, sleep, and even a really comprehensive quiz that will make sure you know what products are right for you. So check out what Happy Mammoth has for you and see what you might want to try. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
Confident in that, like, I'm very excited about being friends with for the long term and can really trust. A big reason for that with this group of girls is that I feel like we have very, very good mutual respect, mutual trust. You know, we treat each other like equals. There's not much, if any, of like an order of the group or, you know, a hierarchy, if you will. And I think that so many girl groups are built on a hierarchy because someone wants to feel like they are in control or they are the queen bee, and other people have no choice but to like be the follower or else they're going to be kicked out. And it's all this kind of built up, made up bullshit. But in the moment, it can feel a lot safer to just stick with somebody like being the queen bee and getting to be in charge than you being like left alone with no friends. So I think that's how a lot of really toxic girl groups function, and that is not what my group of friends feels like now. And this is, quite honestly, very different for me. Like, I don't want to say that I've, like, not had friends, but I have not in my life, maybe since middle school, and then pockets of times in high school, but it was always fleeting, had a solid girlfriend group that didn't feel like there was a layer of gossiping or a layer of backstabbing or a layer of toxicity to it. I think it is so rare. And I think so many people experience that. I talk to other girls that I meet in other places and I share some of my stories and they have similar experiences. My mom talks to other moms whose kids are struggling even worse than I was. And it's like this phenomenon that female friendships are so hard, but I don't think that it's true that every single female out there has bad intentions and wants to make female friendships hard. I think that you are either somebody who wants to be at the top of the hierarchy, which is a rare group of people, but they're very controlling and they control, you know, every other girl and every other person that is involved, or you're somebody who has been hurt by that and had issues with that and now you have trust issues. I think that's where I fall. I think I've got some trust issues when it comes to women and being like really close and being good friends. Also, in like a best friendship, in two girls who are best friends, it is hard to also feel like equals. It's hard to not feel like, you know, somebody is wearing the pants of that relationship. Somebody is running it. For a long time of my life, I had one best friend. When I moved back to the US, we stayed great friends. I still considered her my best friend. We would make trips to see each other every Christmas, every summer. So like a good solid 2 weeks out of every year we were together, just us. And other than that, like, she was a person who, from what I was, you know, the environment that I was in high school, she was kind of like my escape. Like, I would be able to always have that friendship regardless and always go back to it. And it's really tough because I look back at this friendship now that it's over, and I'll get into details of that. And I think I knew it at the time and was just suppressing it because it was still better than anything I had, like, in person in high school. And there was still so much, like, real friendship to it and so much history. But I was absolutely the underdog. Like, this person was always, like, the trendsetter. Like, she had to be the cooler one. Like, she was the one who was always one step ahead with everything. Always felt like, you know, she had the more important stories, the crazier stories, the bigger deal in her life. Was always kind of the one, like, setting the trends. I literally even mean that with, like, you know, lifestyle and fashion and stuff. You know, when we would only see each other every 6 months, it'd be like, oh, like, low-key an air of like, oh, what's she doing differently? Like, I feel like I'm not dressing as cool. I'm not as chill. I'm not, you know, like, I would always feel this low-key sense of competition and low-key sense of, like, I was always being competed with, even though I wasn't trying to compete, or I was always trying to be, like, kept in a certain place. But then that would all be covered with, like, you know, some actual great friendship moments, and we were very close. But deep down, there always was this sense of competition and always this sense of hierarchy. Like, no matter what, I was always second place. Like, I was not the leader in that friendship in terms of, like, how the friendship was going to go, what we were going to do, what was going to be considered cool, whose story and life and feelings were more relevant and more important. Like, I was never at the top. And it's interesting for me being separated from that now to look back at it and think, like, that was always there. That legitimately was always there. There was not a time in that friendship, even literally in middle school, where I don't think that was there. And sorry if I'm just, like, rambling on about stories, but I think that that's the most relevant way to get this point across, is to just talk about my own personal experience with it. And yeah, and I think that's probably more entertaining for you guys too. So here's, you know, some of my experiences with toxic female friendships and why I think that happened, and kind of trying to dissect them. Basically, this friendship continued as this, like, long distance best friendship for years. We end up getting into college, both in Boston, in the same city. From my perspective, I'm like, oh my god, we finally get to be in the same city. We finally get to actually be, like, embedded in each other's lives and not just, you know, this long distance thing that we've had going. Like, this is amazing. We actually get to be, like, best friends in real life. And what I found was that even being in the same city, she wanted to keep me at arm's reach. I was not brought to any parties at her school. I was not introduced to friends, like, maybe once, but not to a point of actually, like, becoming their friends as well. Whereas, like, I was trying to embed her into the life that I was building there. It was, you know, let's meet up and catch up for coffee, like, every once in a while. I was not made, like, a centerpiece of her life. I still was kind of feeling like I was being treated as this separate person in this separate box that was never going to break in to what was actually at the center of her life. And then after she joined a sorority, after she kind of got affiliated with her school, literally never heard from her again. Like, literally never heard from her again. And the crazy thing is, we've both been in Boston for years and I've never run into her, which is actually pretty wild. And it's funny because I got over that pretty fast, because towards the end, that was really a wake-up call when we were living in the same city and I still felt that hierarchy. I still felt like I was just being kept at an arm's reach. Like I was kind of being treated like so close, like I was family, but family so much so that it was like, let's like catch up every once in a while and I can debrief to you and I can let everything out on you, but I'm never going to bring you into the actual activity of my life. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And that is not how I envisioned this friendship. Obviously, you want to be that sort of person to somebody, like someone that they can go to and like debrief everything and can be their kind of like exhale and their safety person. But you also want to feel like you are part of their life. I don't want to just be hearing about all the other characters in your life and be kind of like the confessional to go to talk about it. Like, I would like to actually be a part of your life, and I wasn't. But I got over that pretty fast because I had matured and I had grown. And at that point, I really recognized what the relationship was in front of me. And so when that happened, I was like, okay, well, that was the last straw. But honestly, in hindsight, this is what the relationship was like the whole time. And so there were obviously parts of that relationship, like the actual friendship, that was sad to let go. But I also was like, I deserve way better than this from a friendship. Regardless, like, this never totally felt right. This always still felt a little toxic. And so this one was kind of toxic in the way of always having a hierarchy and having someone on a pedestal, rather than the things that I had experienced in high school were just this feeling of like interchangeability and feeling like no one was actually close enough to me or loyal enough to me to actually keep me around and not leave me for the next best person or for a boy or for a group that, you know, partied more and had alcohol or like all those things that you experience in high school. And, you know, it's not the last time that something like that has happened until I really got close with this group of girls that I love in college, which I said kind of took me till my first, my fourth year to really get solid with. I have had my fair share of girl problems in college as well. I think from things like someone just flipping around and backstabbing to girls that you might really like, but it's kind of just too much of a party-centered culture and you don't feel like you actually have any depth to the relationship there. There's so many different things that can go on. And my point in sharing these stories and talking about this is because it's something that I think is so relevant to how I live and how I function and to the sense of independence that I have. I really think that a huge amount of independence is attributed to, at some points in my life, feeling like I kind of had to. And I absolutely don't regret that at all, because I love the independent way that I live and I love the relationship that I have with myself. And I also have never used that as an excuse to like not have friendships and to not have caring people in my life. I think that it just has made me far more aware of the quality of friendships that I want to have and the things that I want to avoid. And it's also, you know, made me kind of stable through the times when I felt like I haven't had that, as hard as that has been and as hard as that can be. And so for everybody else that has gone through that, I think that there are reasons that this happens. It is in the way that we hear other people talking about women. It's the way that, you know, whether it's in real life or in media, we see backstabbing. We see women pinned against each other in the media. How often are there like fake fights and feuds created in the media, like women versus women? Like, I think of, you know, Selena Gomez and Hailey Bieber. There could be some truth to that, but mostly it's just that Selena Gomez had a very public relationship with Justin Bieber and now he's married to Hailey. And so people have created this insane narrative of a feud between them. And that is just one example of so much we see online. And remember those magazines we would read as kids that were all like, who wore it better? And then it would have a segment of two women wearing, you know, the same outfit or similar outfits, and it would tell you everyone's vote on who wore it better. Like, there's just always been so much narrative of pinning women against each other. And then I even think back to TV shows of female friendships depicted. in shows when we were young, there was always like a lead and then their sidekick, and the sidekick was always the sidekick. Like, we knew that. And sometimes they were portrayed as being, you know, not as pretty, as being goofy, as being, you know, not as valued. I think of like Wizards of Waverly Place, and you have Alex and Harper, and it's like we grew up literally thinking Harper was like the duff. Like, I think she was actually very smart, but she was always seen as like the goofy, not as pretty sidekick, and like that was her place, right? And so we see that and we think that that's how it goes. And then we also see so many men in power and in a lot of industries and cases, so little space for women that it feels like there's this scarcity out there for us, and that we have to compete with each other to be the more successful one, to be the prettier one, to be the one on top. And it just feels like we're constantly in competition with each other, and that's like a learned thing at a young age. And I think that's why there's so much toxicity that can be grown into female friendships, because they're almost taught to us like, yeah, you're friends, but there's always this hierarchy. Yeah, you're friends, but you can say, oh, I love her, but she's such a bitch. You know, how many times have you heard somebody be like, oh my God, I love her, but like, she really needs to get it together. Like, she's so stupid what she's doing. Like, or like, oh my God, I love her, but like, she dresses like a slut. You know, like crazy things. And people are like, oh my God, I can't stand that one girl. She's like, I love her, but I'm like, okay, then shut your mouth. Then stop right there. End of sentence. Shut your mouth. Like, it's not okay to just write something off with like, oh, I love her, but, and then say something completely bitchy. But that's just so normalized. Like, this talking behind other people's backs and this backstabbing. It's like, it just feels like there's often not an expectation of actual trust and loyalty and respect. And I think that that's harder to find. Whereas, it's, you know, I've observed so many groups of guys go into college and literally make friends their first day, their first week, and then that is their group. And they're just boys for the rest of it. And I think that that's so rare for girls to even find one person that early on that actually continues in their life. And so I think that it's a much larger problem, but I think that it's an experience that all girls have. And, you know, having a 98% female audience listening here, I think it's a very relevant topic to talk about, because in one way or another, we have all experienced this. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, there are so many women in the world. There are so many women who listen to this podcast and are looking for the same things and have kind of the same outlook on life. There are so many people in, you know, other clubs and groups and things like that at your school, or just in communities, that think the same way that you do. And also, I don't know that most women are actually seeking out toxicity. I think it is just a learned thing, and I think that it's become a comfort zone for so many people, and that they don't even know any better. And so it's definitely a narrative that we have to fix, something that we need to change. But I don't think it's impossible. I know that it's not impossible to find things that are actually against the norm. It's very, very possible to have good female friendships. It can just be a tough thing to navigate sometimes. And with that said, I'm very, very grateful for all of the women in my life who are truly good friends and truly supportive. Like, I can think of honestly so many people in my life right now. I like have such a good point in life right now in terms of people, where I feel like, you know, I've taken my time to weed out the toxicity, to kind of be aware of that right off the bat and just not let anything in that I think is going to become like that and show signs of that. And I think that I've gotten to a point right now where like I have such great friends, such great family, such great people in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. And to every single one of you listening, because you are also a huge part of my life, you are also the best. And you know, we can be homies no matter what. So you always have this to come back to. No matter what, this will never be toxic, okay? Promise. And I honestly can't thank you enough for your support. This was really interesting, recording an episode by myself. Like, you never know how that's gonna go, but I think sometimes when you're just talking to yourself into abyss, it's a lot easier to get personal than when you're talking to another person. So I think this will be an interesting dynamic for Catherine and I for the next month or so, to give you some solo episodes and you can kind of get different aspects of our personal lives separate from each other, as close as we are and as insanely embedded as our lives are to each other. It'll be cool to get to know us separately and to hear different perspectives and different topics from each of us. Make sure you are following the podcast wherever you listen, on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. You can give it a follow so that you get notifications about our episodes and you can see what we're talking about each week, decide if it's one you want to listen to or not. And if you do like it, please leave a 5-star review. It is mega appreciated from us and it helps our show reach new people. And with all of that said, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next Monday. Bye.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.